You're listening to KC Forum with Kathy Quinn, public affairs with an entertaining spin.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to KC Forum. Kathy Quinn here, and we are going to be talking about public affairs with an entertaining spin. Yes, we are. And this weekend, we're going to talk, yes, to Miss Julie Moyes and to warn folks about the flu, influenza. It's nothing really to take lightly. We'll find out, too, about Life Fest that's coming up to help folks out there who may be feeling a little down and taking it to the streets. That's what we're going to be doing with Scott LeMaster. First up here on KC Forum, I have Julie Moyes on the line right now. And Julie, we've talked in the past about Ian's Rainbow, and I want to welcome you to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And of course, we've because of circumstances, we've talked, you know, obviously because of your son. Let's start all over about Ian's Rainbow and little Ian and talking about the flu. And, you know, people don't take the flu seriously, and they really should.
They should. And you know what? We did not either. We thought, you know, if you had a cold, you had the flu. And unfortunately, we had to learn the hard way. Influenza is a serious respiratory virus.
So is influenza the flu?
Yes, influenza is the flu. It's a much, a lot of times when people have a cold, they'll say, I have the flu.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the flu, you truly know you have the flu because you feel like you have been hit by a Mack truck.
Okay.
If you have influenza, you're not going to feel like going to work or going shopping.
You just want to lay down.
You have body aches, you have a fever, you just feel miserable.
And there are different strains of flu.
Every year there is. There's, A and B, and then there's subcategories, and I have no medical background. I'm just a mother who was affected by complications. My son passed away of the flu. But every year, there's several different strains of influenza.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're always trying to guess what the strain is going to be this year, because it'll be different than last year.
Wow. Let's talk about little Ian, then. How old was Ian, and walk us through what happened?
Ian was just shy of 7 months, and he woke up from his nap and just didn't seem himself, and I called the pediatrician, and we made an appointment to get in later in the afternoon, and by the time we went to go see his doctor, he was doing worse.
Oh.
The doctor examined him and said, you know, it looks like Ian's got the flu, and he just did a visual examination. It was a really bad season that year.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, keep him hydrated and treat the symptoms. And so that's what we were doing. But as the evening wore on, Ian's symptoms were worse. And so we called the doctor, and they said to go ahead and take Ian back in.
Mm-hmm.
And by this time, it's about 9 o'clock at night. So we took him to an urgent care center. And they did a nasal swab, which is how they test you for influenza. It's kind of like how they check you for strep throat,
mm-hmm.
but it goes through your nose.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor came out and said, Ian is negative for RSV, but did test positive for influenza A.
So Ian tested positive for influenza A. Is that worse than B, or how does that work?
Each strain can, one is always worse each year than the other, but it's not consistent. It's not that A is always the worst one or B is the worst one. He just happened to test positive for influenza A. And I remember being in the doctor's office and just saying, oh, good, it's just the flu, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said that twice. At least he didn't have RSV. And took him home, and that night I started to feel sick. And I ended up calling my husband the next day. We thought Ian was getting better. His fever had broke. He had been panting, and his panting had turned more into a sigh. I was feeling miserable, and I had never had influenza before. I could tell that the flu is different than a cold. And I called my husband crying, and I said, can you please come home? I can't take care of Ian. I feel terrible. And when my husband got home, he said, I just don't like Ian's coloring. Let's take him back in.
Oh, God.
And at that time, the pediatrician's office, I had called them earlier because I was afraid he was going to get dehydrated. He wasn't taking his bottle as well. And so the doctor's office had called. My husband wants to take him into the emergency room and was picking him up, and as he did, Ian stopped breathing.
Oh.
So we called 911, but we lived very close to the hospital, so we jumped in our truck, and we were on our way. And I'm trained in CPR and rescue breathing, and I started rescue breathing on Ian, and I could tell it wasn't making a difference. And in between our home and the hospital is a fire station. So we stopped at the fire station. They started working on Ian. The ambulance met us there and transported Ian to the hospital. And we ended up in less than 30 hours from his first symptoms, two doctor visits, four nurse calls, we ended up losing Ian to complications of the flu.
Oh my God. What could you have done? Anything?
If you're under the age of 6 months, you cannot get vaccinated. Ian had gotten his first of two flu vaccines at a six-month appointment, but you have to wait 30 days to get your follow-up vaccine. He did not make it 30 days to get his second vaccine. The boys, I have two older sons, and they both got vaccinated, and they did not have a symptom. Glenn and I were worried about the kids and, you know, vaccinating them, and so we didn't get a flu shot, and we both came down with the flu. So not a day goes by if we don't wonder if maybe we gave Ian the flu. You know, they talk about herd immunity with vaccines, and unfortunately, we learned firsthand that it could possibly make a difference.
Julie, you can't say that. You can't say that.
No, I mean, I don't blame myself. I wasn't aware.
Yeah.
And that's why we started Ian's Rainbow Flu Foundation, so we can raise awareness right. How serious influenza can be. I mean, you know, when they said it was the flu, we were just like, oh, just the flu, and you worry about your kids, you know.
I'm just wondering, I mean, but you did, okay, to me, you did everything you could do. You called, you went, you went to the emergency room. What can we tell parents? I mean, you have to be, I don't know. I mean, now you've obviously, with the Ian's Rainbow and everything, it's wonderful because you are educating people like, hey, guys, if they say it's the flu, it's not just the flu. You've got to get some help. You've got to figure out what it is. You know, make them keep the baby in the hospital. I mean, now... So poor little Ian is helping, though, all these people that you've talked to over the years. In fact, today we're interrupting you because you were talking at St. Luke's North. Tell us what you were talking about.
I was sharing Ian's story with the breastfeeding support group. So it was new mamas with their babies, and I was sharing what happened to us when Ian was an infant and what we have learned. And
gosh.
Hopefully it makes a difference. And, you know, one thing that I always share is nobody knows your child better than you. So, you know, always be proactive. Even if they think you're a little bit crazy, just be proactive and follow your instincts. Nobody knows your child better than you know your child.
Absolutely. Do you see, though, you are making a difference in all these years? You have made a difference. And what you're trying to do, tell us about the event that's coming up.
Well, every year we have, this will be our 13th walk, and it's our one fundraiser a year. And this year it's going to be in Platte Woods because of the flooding in Parkville. But we have a walk, and we have a flu clinic set up so people can, all registered walkers, get a free flu vaccine and enjoy a beautiful fall day. And we'll have face painting and clowns and all kinds of fun stuff. And you can get information about it on iansrainbow.org on our website.
Mm-hmm. So is it for the entire family?
Uh-huh. Yeah, the whole family can get vaccinated. And with the funds that we raise at the walk, we pay for flu vaccines around the area. And last year, our foundation gave out over 400 flu vaccines.
Oh, my goodness. Now, do you see, I mean, I was getting wrapped up in your story, and I hear it every year, Julie, and it's still, does it help you talk about it?
I can't change what happened to me in my family, and we were so blessed to have such a great support group, and we still do. Sharing the story makes me feel like maybe there's a purpose, you know? Mm-hmm. I miss Ian every day, you know, with every breath that I take, that I can't bring him back. And if our sharing our story and helping people get vaccinated and raising the education that the flu can be serious, hopefully there's a purpose there. Now, do I wish I had Ian here? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Yeah.
But he left you a little gift. Tell us about the rainbow.
Well, the day that Ian passed, it was December 17th, and it had not been raining. We were in the hospital having to say goodbye, and a nurse came in and told us to come outside, and or she said, come look at this rainbow. And it was December, not raining. I thought it was a picture somewhere, and I said I didn't want to go. And she said she would hold Ian for us so we could go out and look. And we went outside, and it was the most beautiful double rainbow that I've ever seen.
Wow.
And moments earlier, I had just been praying, you know, my baby, he's going to be alone. And to me, it was a sign that Ian's not alone. And so we named the foundation Ian's Rainbow Flu Foundation because of the beautiful rainbow that gave us hope.
Aww. And every year I tear up. Okay, so where do people go to find out more about the foundation? And then obviously they'll find out about the event as well.
Yeah, well, we have a Facebook page. So if you're on Facebook, it's Ian's Rainbow Flu Foundation. Mm-hmm. And we also have a website, www.iansrainbow.org.
Okay.
So either one of those you can go to and you can find a link to register. We post about our flu clinics. We share flu information. We believe in vaccines on a personal level, but like I said, we do not have a medical background. I encourage everybody to talk to their healthcare professional, somebody that they trust, to get the facts.
Yeah. I think go ahead.
And just to learn how serious influenza can be, that it's not just a cold.
I think what I'm taking from this, and every time I talk to you, there's something different, but I think what I'm taking from this is you know your child best. It doesn't matter. Act like a crazy person. I mean, I know I have in the past. I know my mother did when something I don't care. You think I'm nuts? Get my kid in there. So that's what you're saying is be their advocate and just get him in there. Whatever you have to do.
Right. You have to. I mean, you know, and especially Ian, he couldn't talk. He couldn't tell us anything. And we felt something wasn't right. And we kept going in. And, you know, after we lost Ian, I have a daughter now. And there was one time she had to go to the hospital. She used to get urinary tract infections. And she was so sick, and I was so scared. We were in the emergency room, and I was going to leave her if that was going to be the only way to have them keep her. And I know that sounds crazy.
No, it doesn't.
But when the doctor came in and she said, okay, we're going to, you know, keep your daughter overnight, I started crying and she's like, no, honey, it's going to be okay. And I said, no, I was going to leave my child. I wasn't going to take her home.
Hey, that's perfect.
And she ended up spending, 4 days in the hospital.
And how's she doing?
She's great. She's 14 now.
Oh,
freshman in high school.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Ian would be a junior this year.
Wow. And so she knows all about Ian. She knows all about Ian.
Yeah, she grew up, you know, knowing the story, and we have Ian's pictures all over the house. And she's been at flu clinics since actually about two, because I wouldn't let her out and about before then. But
Before we go, tell us a little bit about what Ian was like.
Oh my goodness, he was such a happy baby. And I know we all think that, but he truly, out of all four of my children, he laughed all the time, and it was big belly laughs. And I would call my husband at work and, you know, oh, listen to what's happening, or we'd lay on the floor constantly, and I would leave voicemails for everyone. This is why I'm not, you know, getting anything done, and I'd record Ian laughing.
Aww. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know he's smiling at you. You know that, Julie.
Oh, I do, and I know he's in a wonderful place. I'm just selfish and wish he was here.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you so very much. And, you know, get this foundation out there, spread the word. And thank you so much for your hard work. And we will talk to you again.
Well, and Kathy, I appreciate you helping us year after year. It means a lot. So thank you.
Thank you, my darling. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right. We got more on the way. Stay with us.
Hang on. There's more on the way with Kathy Quinn and KC Forum.
I don't look any different than you, but I have type 1 diabetes.
You can't outgrow type 1 diabetes.
It's not caused by your diet. It's not caused by anything you did.
It's kind of hard to live with it.
It's not easy. I do need to check my sugar a lot, my levels.
If you see someone with an insulin pump or pricking their finger and you want to know more about T1D, just ask them.
T1D looks like me.
T1D looks like me.
Learn more about type 1 diabetes at jdrf.org.
Hey, if you just turned the radio on and you're wondering, what am I listening to? It's KC Forum, Kathy Quinn here. We're about ready to talk about taking it to the streets and Scott LeMaster. Mr. Scott, welcome to the show. How did taking it to the streets begin in the first place?
Well, years ago, about 17 years ago, I was divorced, and I had a global impact on my missions work that I did, and I decided that I want to bring my missions work to home, and I'd always dreamed and envisioned of doing what taking it to the streets is, and I thought we'd do it under another nonprofit or through a church or something, but that never took hold, and so I decided to go ahead and launch it 17 years ago when I became a single dad, and for my kids and I to make a difference, to teach my kids, you know, that we're blessed and that we need to give to others. And so we started Feeding the Homeless of Kansas City. And from there, years ago, we launched our emergency response division about 7-8 years ago. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, we were doing disaster relief, but I kept seeing in the disasters the first responders not being taken care of. And you know, they were out there, I call them the four corners, and protecting the disaster zones or whatever, and they're not getting hydrated, they're not mm-hmm. getting fed. Decided we're going to move in and really push hard doing the emergency response division of our organization, and we built a custom-made response trailer that has two fully self-contained bathroom facilities in it, has a kitchenette on the back, and we're able to pop a drone up and have a live feed back to the 60-inch flat-screen TV on the side. And so we use that for quite a few things, but most important, what we're finding out is what we do lowers the PTSD of our first responders when we come out and bring hydration, snacks, food, and brings the comfort of home to them. It allows them to, you know, not to have so much stress and anxiety. And, you know, as we saw the other day when you and I were out there in Raytown, mm-hmm. pouring down rain in a residential area, the firefighters and police officers had been searching for hours, needed bathroom facilities.
Yes.
Where were they going to go?
Yes.
And so, you know, that's one of the things. I learned that at a young age when my brother-in-law was a first responder killed in the line of duty. And he was a lot older than me, but I would love to go to my sister and brother-in-law's house. And, you know, I'd get in his car and red lights and sirens. We'd run to a scene, and then we'd sit for hours and hours and hours. And all that stayed in the back of my head saying, man, I have nothing to eat, I have nothing to drink, and I can't go to the bathroom. And I go, if this is what I'm doing, you know, need, what does my brother-in-law who's fighting a fire need? You know, who's exerting a whole lot more energy than me. Mm-hmm. And so that all that came into fruition. And so it allowed me to build the first of its kind custom built response trailer that we can support our first responders with. You know, we're behind the yellow tape, you know, which is allows us to see things more so than the general public. But it also allows us to be able to have an impact in the lives of our first responders. We've been on the most horrific events in Kansas City to date, you know, out there in rural Cass County with the Tara Kopensky, Jessica Runyon body recovery.
Yes.
You know, out there for a week with the FBI and Cass County Sheriff's Department, multiple jurisdictions out there, hundreds of first responders that we were able to take care of. You know, closest bathroom was about 15 minutes away. And here they didn't have to go anywhere. They were able to, and we fed them their lunch. We serve lunch every day there for them. Heated and air-conditioned bathroom facilities, snacks, hydration, protein bars, granola bars, meals. So we're out there just to be a blessing to them, because we want them to know that our community cares about them and that people love our first responders, and we want to support them in what they do to support our communities.
So how in the world do you fund this?
It's just through people that hear about what we do and, you know, want to give and want to help us help our first responders and make a difference in our communities. We don't go out and solicit a lot of funds. We don't go beat down doors asking for people. We don't send out monthly mailings. We just believe that when people hear about what we do and they see what we do and the impact that we're having, they want to be a part.
How can they get a hold of you? How can they give?
Taking it to the streets, P.O. Box 404, Greenwood, Missouri, 64034. Or they can call me on my cell phone. I'll be glad to talk to them. My number is 816-564-0656. And, you know, that as a nonprofit, we can work alongside them and get the community to engage with them in a non-threatening environment to where they can just engage the officers and have fun.
Scott, why do you do this?
I'm just passionate about people. I'm passionate about my life, making a difference. You know, I could be back out running my own companies and doing whatever I want to do, have a good life. But I believe that people need to have hope, love, and encouragement. And I was raised by great parents, have a great family life. Most people haven't had that. And my parents taught me at a young age that we need to give back. And so that's what I just believe that God wants me to do with my time, my talent, my treasure, is to go and give back to people. You know, it's not about making money, but it's about having an impact in the lives of people I meet each and every day. And that we can give people hope, we can give them encouragement, we can love on them. And we can change the society in which we live in by doing that.
You are a good man. Scott LeMaster, taking it to the streets. We will see you out there on the streets. And if anybody would like to help, just look it up and donate. And thank you so much. We love you, Scott.
Love you too. Thanks, Kathy.
Okay, honey. We got more on the way. Stay with us.
Hang on. There's more on the way with Kathy Quinn and KC Forum.
T1D looks like my brother.
T1D looks like a friend.
Type 1 diabetes can be living in anyone.
Type 1 diabetes is when your pancreas doesn't produce insulin. It's not caused by your diet. It's not caused by anything you did.
Type 1 diabetes can be very serious.
Blindness, amputation.
Help JDRF find a cure today. Learn more about type 1 diabetes at jdrf.org.
If you're tuning in right now, you're listening to KC Forum, Public Affairs, with an entertaining spin, and we talk about all sorts of things. I want to tell you, though, this morning about the Signature Psychiatric Hospital. Brenda Clevenger's on the line, the director there of marketing. And how are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks, Kathy.
Good. You're going to be very busy because you have a huge event coming up. Tell me about it, Brenda.
It is a huge event. It's all-consuming, but it's so much fun putting together. It is called Life Fest, which we have taglined as a mental health mixer and suicide nixer, because we didn't want to be Debbie Downers just by saying we're trying to prevent suicides. We are trying to celebrate life and help people remember there's goodness to be enjoyed in life.
Let me ask you, okay, so that's a great thing, and there's so much more awareness about it nowadays. I was talking to a young man who is a martial arts expert, and he said that he does a lot of anti-bullying.
Yeah.
And just to say that's one of, you know, that's one of the causes possibly that people take their own lives. He said a lot more teenage girls. Do you have any statistics on that?
Yes, unfortunately, I do. The student population is hugely at risk. I think it's the second leading cause of death with students between the age of 10 and 24, which is horrible.
God.
And suicide across the board is the 10th leading cause of death for all of our population, which is horrible, mm-hmm. should not be. So bullying, as you said, is one of the components with us getting ready to go back to school right now. I'm sure mothers and fathers are worried about their kids mm-hmm. because of overuse of social media, overstimulation, people trying to keep up with the Kardashians and all the bogusness that goes on that shouldn't be part of our children's psyche.
I agree.
And it just
okay.
gets in the way.
That's right, Brenda. And so growing up, obviously, I didn't have a cell phone. We didn't have the internet. That type of thing.
Mm-mm.
So it's so different now. They have so much more that they're aware of, so many more ways that people can whatever bully, can intimidate, can make fun of.
Yeah, it's almost that we're more disconnected than we've ever been, which is another reason that we're trying to actually bring all these healthcare providers out into the light, out into the park. We're actually saying, you know, you don't have to come out of the closet and say that you need therapy. We'll come out of the clinic to you and make this a warm, open, positive environment that people can just walk up and be what we call therapy curious. You don't have to say, I have this huge mental health issue or I'm depressed. Just mm-hmm. like, what would it be like if I went to this? Would this help me? What would it cost? Just ask your generic questions. It'll be so easy.
All right, tell us when it's happening, where it's happening, so if people are out there going, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it will be on a Saturday from noon to 6 mm-hmm. at Mulberry Lake, which is this beautiful lake environment on the Charles Garney property at the Village of Briarcliff.
Okay.
Easy to get to, easy to get out in and out of, and plenty of parking, and all free.
What type of people do you think, what listeners out there would be interested in this? For instance, they could say, ah, no, that's not for me. Just say, you know, kind of explain the people who will be there.
Well, we're really trying to get the students there, obviously. We have the North Kansas City High School Jazz Band playing, so we hope they bring their parents out and their sisters and their brothers. We'll actually have a tent called the Student Union so they can flop down on a couch. They can talk to some of the LGBT community safety nets that we're going to have there if that's going on in their lives. We hope that military and first responders come because we're going to have counselors that specifically niche in that population. And we're hoping that some grandparents come out too because, believe it or not, seniors are even more at risk than some of the students. The older that you get, the more likely that you will commit suicide as our age goes up because of over-drinking, maybe taking too many pills and not understanding that you're depressed. It's a hugely at-risk population.
Or being ashamed or being fearful for it. Okay, so Ms. Brenda,
yes.
Signature Psychiatric Hospital, explain the background.
Our hospital is on the campus of North Kansas City Hospital. And what's another motivation for us doing this suicide prevention festival is we have tripled in size in the last 18 months, and we are full. So we have tripled in size, and we are still full, and we know there's more people to treat. We're partnering with Tri-County Mental Health Services, which serves about 8,000 people a year with their mental health needs, and they have to turn people away because they only have so many hands to help people. So this is a way that we can all come together where no one's going to be turned away. There won't be any questions about insurance or whatnot. Just walk up and get help. September 21st.
September 21st. Okay, how can they find out more? Because a lot of people like to do their research.
Great question. There is a website they can go to called lifefestkc.com. It's free, totally free. There'll be pet therapy dogs to play with, all sorts of fun and activities. It's a happy time.
All right. Thank you very much, Brenda Clevenger. And that's it for us this weekend. Kathy Quinn here. Thank you to Katie Connors. She is our executive producer. Andrina Byrne, associate producer. Ed Walker getting us on the air. And the voice, Doug Medlock. And of course, you couldn't do it without the music, The Elders. And thank you to Fox 4 allowing me to do this show. Until next weekend, see ya.
It's KC Forum with Kathy Quinn.